You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor, at gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm glad to have Dr. Quentin Hanning with me once again to help us make some sense of the recent bulk sample assays that were released by Noble Resources on May 31st. Now, I can't imagine that many of you listening to this interview are new to the Noble Resources story. Noble has been one of the big winners last year in the gold exploration space, and Dr. Hanning has been on this show numerous times over the past several years. But for the sake of those who may not be familiar with Noble and this Karratha play in northwestern Australia, you should be aware that Dr. Hanning and Noble Resources and its major investors like Kirkland Lake and its chairman Eric Sprott are in the hunt for a gold deposit akin to the greatest gold deposit ever discovered, namely the Witwaters Rand of South Africa. There are encouraging exploration results, which explains why the stock has performed so well, in my view. And that's despite the fact that the company has yet to outline a resource on its flagship Karratha property. The gold mineralization at Karratha is extremely coarse or nuggety, so that the only way that to adequately sample this deposit is through bulk sampling. And the purpose of this impromptu discussion with Dr. Hanning, who is speaking to me on Friday, June 1st from Australia, is to make some sense of the first bulk samples, the two of them that were extracted from the company's Comet well target, which is just one part of the overall Karratha project. Welcome, Dr. Hanning, and thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to spend a few minutes with us today.
Absolutely, Jay. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. I would like to suggest to listeners interested in the Noble story that they go to the company's website, NobleResources.com, I believe it is. Anyway, you can Google it. Go there and read the press release from this past week, and also not only read it, but take time to download the pictures, because the illustrations will help understand what we're about to talk about now with Dr. Hanning. Dr. Hanning, I understand, as I understand it, the samples you reported last week were taken right from surface. The results, as reported on May 31st by yourself, by your company, 10.4 grams of gold over from a 7.14 ton bulk ton sample that was labeled KX157, and then 1.5 grams per ton gold over with a 6.85 ton sample labeled KX158. Those are the sample names given to those samples. Now, you have reported on those first bulk samples, and as I understand, that's a program that you have a lot more bulk samples to come. Can you tell our listeners what the objective of this bulk sampling program is and what you have learned so far from the first two results?
Sure, Dave. That's a good place to start. The objective of this program is to adequately measure the gold content of these conglomerates. As you stated earlier, this is a very nuggety gold system. Standard rock chip samples or even drill samples do not cut it here. This is a coarse gold environment. We have to take a very large sample to get any representation. As many people know and who follow the story, we met with some challenges late last year. You know, we were taking 300 kilo samples, which sounds like a lot, but what we found is that even at that size, the representativity of the samples, of the gold in the samples, was inadequate. We did some consulting with a coarse gold expert earlier this year. He advised us that we should be taking samples of at least 5 tons, 5 to 10 tons. So these first two results that have come out are really the first two, what we call samples of the new protocol, which is a more robust sample size, but also other aspects of the sampling are important too. So, for example, we're taking these samples from a 2 meter by 2 meter footprint, so it's basically a horizontal panel, and you know, we're finding that that's important as well. If you keep the footprint of the sample size consistent, it helps for a better comparison. All right, so mm-hmm. so that's first part of my answer to your question. Second part is, look, this is these samples were taken from what we call the Cannonball conglomerate, which is somewhat unique to the Comet Well property. We worked at Purdy's Reward last year. We examined a conglomerate, studied it, and sampled it from a different part of the stratigraphic section, and I'll talk more about that here in a minute. But the point is, this is the first assay data we have from this Cannonball conglomerate. It's quite meaningful. It shows some distinct characteristics. First of all, the first sample you mentioned, the 10.4 gram sample, number 157, is actually above the basement. It's not sitting right on the footwall contact of the conglomerate. And we're seeing quite good grade in that sample, which is nice because soon we're going to have some more samples from trenches nearby that are further up in the section, so basically above that respective position. And I think we'll be able to demonstrate that there's a thicker section of mineralized conglomerate here in the Cannonball conglomerate at Comet Well. The sample that graded 1.5 grams, while lower in grade, still significant gold. It did incorporate some of the basement contact, the material below the conglomerate. You know, it's hard to sample these things when you're down in a pit and you're using a rock excavator, you know, with a moil, a mm-hmm. percussion moil on it to see what's going on. But, you know, the guys were doing a pretty good job, and they did take some of the basement. But, you know, it's different than Purdy's. The gold is not concentrated as a skinny horizon right on top of the basement contact. It seems to be up higher into the conglomerate, and we really look forward to the assays that are forthwith here. We've got quite a few in the queue, and I think those will shed a lot more light on the thickness and overall grade and distribution of gold in this conglomerate.
As I understand it, looking at your figure 3 and figure 4 in your press release, the first two samples are taken from the northwestern portion of what you're going to be sampling. Is that correct?
Yes, I don't have the figures right in front of me, but what you're talking about is a cross-section, I believe, as well as a plan map
yes.
of the area that we've sampled. And what's really meant by those illustrations is to show or give people a sense of the conglomerate, its distribution. In particular, in that cross-section, you can see, put some yellow lines along the top margin of the outcrop mm-hmm. to show where the is distributed. So this is to give people an impression of how thick of a package of conglomerate we believe is mineralized. We actually see two horizons at Comet Well. We've got the one that I just talked about, the lower Cannonball conglomerate, but we've also found a second unit that bears gold nuggets above that. It's roughly 15 meters off the base, and it's in part of what we call the upper Cannonball conglomerate. Now, what's really interesting about that horizon is it's associated with a marker unit. This is basically a bed of rock that's comprised of what looks like volcanic ash. Mm-hmm. It's very distinct, so geologically it's easy to pick out. Mm-hmm. We've been able to trace that horizon along strike in the field, you know, in outcrop, and we've also seen it over and over and over again in the drilling we've done. As you know, we're doing core drilling out into the basin to get a handle on the geology, the thickness of the units, and so forth. But what's really interesting is we're seeing that unit appear again and again, which tells us there's a very good continuity across the broad area. We also see evidence that the lower Cannonball conglomerate is present over a broad area. So, you know, people who were disappointed by these results, I think it's very premature. We've got lots more data coming back, but also the other important aspect is that we're now able to see good continuity of these units over a broad area. So we do think this is a big system. We think, you know, given this data and our means to now analyze the samples, we should be able to demonstrate that very conclusively through time.
On your plan map, you show there's a red line that I guess delineates where you put some scout holes down. And as I understand it, from the northwest to the sort of southeast, this direction of this line, you put, I believe, about 8 scout holes down through there. And I guess what you're telling me, that's how you're measuring and finding the continuity. As I look at the figure 4, which is the cross section that you referred to, it seems as though that lower conglomerate is getting pretty thick in places.
It is. It is. Now, the basement shifts up and down a bit, so it's going to thicken and thin. You know, it's sitting basically right on the paleo surface. And like any surface on Earth, you know, there's ups and downs. But it is it does appear to be continuous over a broad area. And yes, it is quite thick. One of the big questions we have is there gold between the two horizons that we've been able to detect gold from? Mm-hmm. In other words, there, you know, say a lower grade but significant component of gold in the intervening rock as well.
Uh-huh. Well, that could really make a big difference if there is. I would imagine in the economics, as I look at the cross section, it could be meaningful bulk tonnage potentially, I would guess.
Correct. You know, we can probably mine the two horizons as they are, but if there was gold in between those, it would make for an even more interesting story.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I look at your plan map, figure three, I guess that's what you call it, the plan map, the red line, I guess that delineates where you were putting your scout holes. Is that right?
The red line is actually the trace. It's like a cut mark through.
Right, for your cross-section.
You know, for the cross-section. But, yes, we did, and very intentionally, we drilled a series of scout holes along that line so that we had a very good handle on the geology. What we learned last year was that we need to do good core drilling ahead of trenching mm-hmm. so that we have a good understanding of what's happening in the subsurface, and that way we can better guide the trench sampling that we're doing. The other thing we learned is that last year when we were doing trenches, we were cutting straight down through the rock, and that often causes problems. As soon as you cut a narrow slot in the ground, it's very hard to see, you know, the distribution of the rock in a lateral sense. So we've changed our strategy this year. We're actually opening up broad areas. We're blowing them with compressed air, blowing all the dust off, and so we have these very nice outcrops to work with that we can map and sample and get a very good handle on the continuity and thickness of these beds.
You know, as I look at Figure 3, your plan map, you extend that line or that cross section down to just shy of what is, if I understand this, is the Lamont Roll basalts.
Yes.
Is there any belief that these conglomerates, these gold-bearing conglomerates, could run underneath that basalt?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. In fact, that's what is meant to be shown by the illustration. Look, the conglomerates that we're targeting here will almost certainly extend well under that basalt, and that's mm-hmm. the whole idea. We're basically nibbling along the edge of the basin.
Mm-hmm.
The units that we're seeing here will continue out into the basin. We do have some drill holes that are, you know, south of that map or south of that plan map. So we already know there's conglomerate down there. Plan is to talk more about the drilling once all the modeling is complete. We can show a three-dimensional model like we did late last year
mm-hmm.
of these area. We'll be able to do the same thing for the Comet Well area, and I think it'll give people a good sense of the huge size of this system. You know, you got to keep in mind this is a basin that's hundreds of kilometers across. So so when you latch onto one of these things, you know, they can be quite special in that regard. They can be very big systems.
You referred in the cross section, and I think you just mentioned also the upper Cannonball conglomerate. Are there intentions? Will you be sampling that, I suppose, too?
Yes. One of the things we mentioned in the news release is we're doing a little science and recognizing that marker horizon I talked about. We were able to project that down dip. So you'll see in the cross section, there's actually a little yellow line on the left, on the right-hand side of that cross section, where we've actually found exposure of gold-bearing, that same gold-bearing conglomerate
uh-huh.
at the bottom of the creek. And we've recently opened that up. In fact, the guys are sampling it right now. We're using the same sample protocol, you know, the 2x2 meter panels. And they've been able to detect quite a bit of gold in that area. So we're very, very confident in our model, our ability to trace this thing. They've also traced it along strike. So we've traced that tuff horizon, that volcanic ash horizon. And because it's so readily identifiable in the field, we can actually start opening up trenches right on top of that. And lo and behold, we're starting to see gold, you know, virtually in every time we open up a trench on that target. It's very, very interesting.
This upper conglomerate, is it your belief that it extends to Purdy's Reward, where you've done some work last year?
Yeah, so that's mentioned in the news release. Our hypothesis right now is that at the power line showing where this plan map is and the, uh-huh. the both samples that we've just released are, we think that the basement is gradually rising as it comes, as it projects northeast. Okay, so imagine the basement is actually emerging slowly up mm-hmm. through the strata. We think that at Purdy's Reward, that the upper unit that we have at Comet Well is actually the same unit that we have at Purdy's Reward. Now, if so, this is quite interesting. One of the things we're anxious to do is now that we're starting to see that picture emerge, we are digging trenches systematically back towards the northeast, and we're like I said, finding that unit over and over again. And we're basically right now on a trench that's up against the Purdy's Reward boundary. Mm-hmm. So we're sure, you know, I can't say 100%, but we're pretty darn sure that we are on to the same unit that we were exploring last year at Purdy's, which, you know, that starts to really build an interesting picture. You know, that's a total of 3 or 3.5 kilometers of strike.
Right, and very shallow to start with, at least the target is. So because of the very unique nature of the gold mineralization at Karratha, you have had to devise, as you mentioned earlier, very unique sampling and processing protocol. What metallurgical knowledge have you gained so far from this very unique process of sampling protocol?
I can't tell you how glad I am you've asked me that question, because it has been a tremendous amount of work. It sounds easy to take bulk samples and you know, put them through a crusher and, you know, blah, 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 you know, to get all the gold out. But it isn't. Okay, this is a very technical exercise. The laboratory we're working with, SGS, as well as some of the other laboratories that have been helping supply assays and so forth here in Perth, have done a fantastic job. We're dealing with some very, very smart people. They've been absolutely meticulous about these first couple of samples because they want to make sure they're doing things right. This is really a process that's had to been developed from the ground up. And we've had to look at things as basic as, you know, is there gold smearing on the equipment? So when mm-hmm. you put this, you know, 7 tons of a rock through, are we losing some gold because it's getting smeared on the crushing plates or something like
sure.
this? So we've done everything that we can think of to ensure that the integrity of the assay is sound. For example, we put barren quartz material through the crushers after we're done that literally scrubs the surface of the mm-hmm. plates, and then we analyze that quartz to make sure we didn't lose or contaminate with gold. All right. So there's a lot of steps, and there's a lot more involved in this. I would say each sample that you see there is supported by several hundred assays of the various fractions and of size and whatnot that have come out through the test plant. But the numbers are 100% defensible. And I think the main takeaway I want to leave with people is that we've now worked our way up on a very steep learning curve, and we're starting to see it level out. And we should be able to process these bulk samples on a steady state basis here shortly, which is really kind of a monumental accomplishment in my view. Our team has done a great job, and it really puts us in the forefront, you know, in conglomerate exploration here in the Pilbara. There's a lot of companies that, you know, they talk about having nuggets here and there, but you don't see any of them doing the hard yards like we are.
No doubt about it. Steady state process, that would suggest that we might be seeing a steadier stream of assays that we can look forward to in the next weeks and months to come.
That is the goal. I think we'll see a gradual but steady increase in the rate the samples go through. You know, the other thing, look, Jay, you've been a supporter of Novo for many years, and you know, we used to talk about Beaton's Creek on a regular basis.
Yes.
Look, you know, the things we're learning at Karratha have really given us kind of a new insight into how to treat bulk samples and from conglomerate. And we're actually looking at Beaton's Creek again. We're thinking, gee, there is a coarse gold component there, as we know, but did we undershoot the sample size? Simon Dominey, this coarse gold expert that's been helping us, suggested we should consider taking larger samples at Beaton's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
We did at least some initial work in the background late last year, and we got some results that were very, very interesting. So we are, like I said, we've learned a lot, okay, and we're now applying it. We're getting very smart. We're able to tackle this in a much more confident manner. Late last year, you know, it was stressful. We realized our sample size was too small. We were having challenges with large diameter drilling and so forth. But this year, I feel very confident. You know, people were disappointed for some reason about these results. I am not in the least. I can put my hand on my heart and say those numbers are rock solid. They're good numbers, but they're also quite meaningful. So we can take that information now and do the work we need to do. In particular, we have to file a mineralization report that allows us to convert the exploration license to an M. That's a very important step. Mm-hmm. The kind of steps we need to take to advance the project towards, you know, perhaps a trial mining phase, something like this, or even a mine down the road. All right, but this data and the ability to get solid numbers is critical to that step forward.
There aren't too many companies that would be really upset with the kind of grades that you reported the other day, but very difficult project because it's so different, and it's hard for people to get their head around what might be here and what you're looking at. But you're going about it very methodically and scientifically. It takes time, but you got to do it right, or else it's not going to amount to anything. Just like to ask you, how soon might we start to see some more assays then? Can you give us any sort of guidance in terms of timing?
Sure. You know, I actually just got here to Perth last night. It was actually delayed, so the news release came out while I was in transit, which was a bit awkward. But I've just met with my team today. They see the – I think there's something like 12 samples in the next, tranche of samples that's going to the mill. We should have, you know, say 4 to 6 samples in a few, you know, 3-4 weeks, something like that. Mm-hmm. And those samples are really those ones I was talking about earlier. They're very important to help, you know, flesh out the gold distribution over a thicker part of the sequence there at the big.
So how well funded are you now, Quinton? I mean, your burn rate must be pretty significant given the complexity of this exploration project.
You know, we do have a fairly high burn. You know, I've told people in the past few months that we're going through something like $1.5 to $2 million a month. That is true. We're probably at about 67, 68 million at present. We are seeing more warrants getting exercised on a routine basis. It's helping top up a treasury, you know, but we have enough money to do the hard yards here. We're not too concerned. What I really like is I don't have to go back and talk with financiers and whatnot in Canada and North America. It's more a matter of focusing on the technical work.
Just maybe, and summing up here, just give our listeners a sense of, you know, you're looking at this project now called Comet Well. You did some work at Purdy's Reward where you have a 50% interest, 80% interest at Comet Well. Give our listeners just a sense of what portion of your gigantic area that you staked or that you've set out to be potentially prospective are you looking at right now? What percentage of the total land package?
Just at Comet Well and Purdy's Reward, it's a very small percentage. You know, it's like on the order of maybe 2 or 3% of the overall tenement holdings we have. Most of the tenements that we have extend down into the basin, so the conglomerate units we're chasing are going to be buried in the subsurface. But I'm really glad you asked me this question, because a while back I did, you know, kind of give people a heads up that we are doing more far field work this year, you know, so we're doing some greenfields exploration in new areas. And the thing I want people to take away from this is that because of the work we're doing at Comet Well, and we're able to really carefully pick apart the conglomerate section and so forth, we can now take that information to new areas, and we can better understand where we are and where the gold should be in the conglomerate package. So, for example, out east on tenements we have, you know, in areas as far as 100 kilometers east of Comet Well, we're starting to see, you know, consistencies in the conglomerate sequence and so forth that are quite telling. You know, so in other words, we're starting to see continuity of units over a broad area. The other thing is some of these junior companies, you know, who have turned up gold in the lower conglomerates below the Mount Royal, you know, they're finding gold in a very, very broad area across the Pilbara. Marindi Resources, I believe they're called, found some gold on the south side of the basin in the same units. Okay, it's remarkable. De Grey has some gold. Kairos, you know, there's 2 or 3 others that I'm forgetting right now, but you know, the point is that this is not a one-off gold occurrence at Comet Well and or Purdy's Reward. Mm-hmm. This is a big system that really has a lot of regional potential.
Yeah, massive. And in your hunt over many many years for the next Witwaters, Rand, your theories about how the Wits was formed brought you to this gigantic, I guess, ancient seabed, shallow seabed, which was the rocks of the right age and so on and so forth. And so this is really exciting. I mean, we're talking about tens of, maybe even hundreds of, how far apart some of these occurrences are we talking about then, Quentin?
You know, I tell people to go to our presentation. You'll see a map towards the end that shows a distribution of known conglomerate occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, and you can find dots straight away across the Pilbara for something like 500 or 600 kilometers.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely amazing, and I would say seemingly ridiculous. Anyway, it is really a fantastic story, the most exciting, interesting, unconventional story that I've followed in several decades of writing my newsletter. I want to thank you very much, Quentin, for being with us again and taking your valuable time. All the best to you. We want to keep up with your story going forward, that's for sure. And I'm certainly not discouraged. Good time to pick up some more shares, perhaps, after the stock took a pretty good beating on Friday from the news. But I suspect there are a lot of speculators out there who are expecting to see 1 ounce plus material. And when that didn't happen, they sold off. But boy, this looks good to me. From what I can see, thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us again, and all the best to you and your team down there in Australia.
Thank you, Jay.